Welcome to the Shake Podcast, powered by Sports Cannabis. I'm your host, Ryan Purvis. We have entered Season 7 with a whole new lineup and new guests while still taking a deep dive into all things cannabis and the representatives pushing the industry forward. The Shake Podcast explores new themes every episode within the dynamic cannabis space in Canada in effort to provide full coverage across issues and opportunities of interest to our listeners. We broadcast on a weekly basis anywhere you stream your podcast on any platform that you love or directly from Apple. It's whatever's easiest for you.
Today, we have a great pleasure of welcoming professional hockey player, cannabis advocate, and entrepreneur, Kevin Tainsey. It's great to have you on today. How are you doing and where are you joining us from?
Hey, thanks, Ryan. I appreciate being on here. It was a pleasure to talk about this kind of stuff with you guys. And I'm here right now. I'm in Denmark playing professionally over here.
Right on. I definitely checked out your DB and you've been bouncing around in the European League. It's kind of nice to see that you're getting some travel out of this whole hockey gig, eh?
Yeah, it's my fourth country that I'm living in over here. So yeah, I was in Czech, then I was in Austria, then I was in Slovakia, then I went back to Czech, and now I'm in Denmark.
Well, first off, thank you so much for joining this one. I am really excited to have a hockey guy on here. I'm guessing you've already started your season. How are things shaping up for the 2022-2023 season over there?
Yeah, we're 10 games in right now, and we're in second place last time I checked, where there's between first and fourth place, there's like 1 or 2 points difference. So it moves around a lot, but we're off to a good start. We've won like seven out of our last six, or six out of our last seven. And we're a little bit of a heater, so got a game tomorrow afternoon, so looking to keep the train rolling.
That's wicked. And how's your game looking so far this year?
Going pretty good. I'm second on the team in goals and second in the league in goals as well. I've been filling the net pretty good. I've gotten an assist yet, but I've got my first career hat trick this year, which was pretty cool. And it's been a fun year.
And you're a defenseman, aren't you?
I'm a defenseman, yes. Sort
good
of.
For you, sort of. Hybrid guy.
Exactly. More of a forward.
That's always nice when a D-man can contribute to putting pucks in the net. So good for you. But let's jump right into it. Today, you're making waves on and off the ice as a professional hockey player and entrepreneur. Before we jump into the entrepreneurial side, let's talk hockey. I obviously checked out your hockey DB, saw that you played in the CJHL here in the Ottawa region during your junior career, and then you jumped into D1 at Clarkson University. Tell me about the ride at a young age before going pro.
The Ottawa League has a draft, so I was drafted to the Cumberland Grads and played 2 years there, and it was a pretty good learning curve for me. I switched to being a defenseman 1 year before before the junior A draft. So I was still pretty new when I came into junior A as a D-man. So it was a good learning curve for me. And I was pretty happy where I was. And then I think I committed to Clarkson when I was 16 years old. And I was going to be playing 3 years of juniors, but Mark Borowiecki, who played with the Sens, he's also an Ottawa guy. He was at Clarkson and he signed in the NHL a year early. So they brought me in as an 18-year-old into Clarkson. And that was a pretty cool experience for sure. I went and played 5 years there after redshirting for an injury. And it was a very good time. Met some great people there and played some good hockey and went on to pro.
Yeah, I know. Good for you. You committed at 16 years old to Clarkson?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Did you ever get drafted to the O at all?
Yeah, I was drafted by Plymouth Whalers in the eighth round, I think. Went to their camp as a 16-year-old, and they said I could have made the team, but it would have been as like a seventh or eighth defenseman role. So I wanted to go back in juniors and just keep my options open for one season before I decided something. And yeah, came calling, and yeah, the rest is history.
And hit the books. Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. So what was it about hockey that ultimately made you want to make a career out of it?
That's a good question. I mean, it's been the thing that I've loved since I was young. My dream was always to be a professional hockey player. I mean, my dream was to play in the NHL, obviously, like every kid. But then, you know, you realize as you grow up that NHL is not the only league. So it was very new for me and my family too, because there's not any professional athletes in my family at all. My dad played house league and my brother played house league all growing up. So it was one of those things where it was, okay, here's a rep B team, made the team. And then, okay, here's a double A team, made the team. And then, you know, kept going, triple A, made the team, junior A, made the team. And then once I went to college, that's sort of when I sort of realized that, you know, I was a better player in college as well. And then I think all my family just kind of realized, they're like, okay, like this, like you could be a hockey player. And then obviously, after my draft year, I didn't get drafted, but about 5 minutes after the draft ended, I got a call from the Leafs inviting me to their camp. And that was really the first time where I was like, okay, like I can make a career out of this for sure.
I think that's the beauty about hockey. It takes one spark to kind of change your life. And I think at a young age, we saw those sparks happen and quickly had to pivot and make decisions at such a young age. So I've gone through the junior and university hockey systems here in Canada. And I know the seasons can be long. There's a ton of wear and tear on the body, and health is put at a premium. What are the preferred prescribed modalities for recovery and relief today?
Like in training rooms, you mean? Or
in terms of your doctors and your trainers, you know, helping you with recovery and relief, what are their kind of go-to modalities? You know, obviously we're going to be talking about cannabis and CBD here in shortly, but what are the preferred prescribed modalities lately or throughout your professional career?
It's pretty clean. Like they're even like hesitant to give Advil to guys over here. Like it's very much more natural, and you know, ice and stim and chiropractor and massage. Back in North America is where it was a little bit crazy. Like most of the time I didn't even know what stuff was, but it was just kind of one of those things where, hey, you blocked a shot or you got hit and you have a dead leg and it's a third period and we're up by one goal and we need you in the lineup. So here, take this. And you're just like, all right. And you don't really think anything about it because it's your job. And the way we're wired is we don't want to be out of the game. And especially, I mean, for me personally, is I've missed some time with injury and I don't want to miss anymore. So whenever I could, it was like, all right, yeah, put this needle in my butt or like freeze it or numb it or something. And then there are painkillers or I've taken Toradol before. Bunch of that kind of stuff. Most of the time I didn't even know what it's called. They're just like, hey, this will make the pain stop. I'm like, all right.
Wow.
So it's definitely a little bit concerning sometimes when they just kind of want to get you back in the lineup no matter what.
Do you find that the European teams are kind of taking more care of you or more considerate of like the long-term health effects compared to, you know, playing pro in North America?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of factors in it. And one of the big factors is just the lifestyle in general. In North America, it's a lot more high pace. Like everything's go, go, go. Over in Europe, it's just a more relaxed lifestyle. I don't really know how to explain it, but more than that, like people aren't as uptight. People are more easygoing. And then I think another big factor of it is that there's a lot more, for hockey especially, there's a lot more competition in North America. When I was in the American League or the ECHL, there's a lot of really good hockey players out there. And every year there's a whole new class of people that come in and that could take your job. And so when you get hurt and you might be out of the game, you don't want to be out of the game because you don't know who's going to go on and replace you and who's going to maybe do a better job. And then you don't have a spot in the lineup next game.
So when did you ultimately discover cannabis, and what was your aha moment for possible recovery and relief?
Ooh, when I discovered cannabis for the first time, I mean, my dad was a user and my brother was a user. He's a musician. And so I would guess around 16 or 17 was when I started smoking for the first time. And that was very much like every now and then kind of thing, like rare occasions. And then I guess my aha moment would be once I really started getting injuries. I mean, I had a pretty unfortunate thing happen to me in Ottawa when I was the summer after my freshman year of college. I was jumped in Vanier by someone with like a bat or a 2x4 or something, not really sure, and never found him. I don't remember anything, but I sustained some pretty wild injuries. I was in a coma for just over 2 days. I cracked my skull, I had a brain bleed. I still don't have a sense of smell to this day from it. I also broke my shoulder, which resulted in it dislocating 17 or 18 times in the next month, and I had to have surgery on it. And I also broke 3 ribs. So after that was my first kind of taste into painkillers and like stuff like that. And it was good for the pain because obviously I was in a ton of pain. It took me a whole year to fully recover from that, from those injuries. But I didn't like what it was doing to my head. Like I liked how I didn't feel my ribs or my shoulder, but what it was doing to me mentally was just fogging me up. And like, I was, you know, I was disassociative with everything. And just, it was almost like I was just super hungover all the time, basically. Like it was a weird feeling. And once I grew a little bit of dependency on them too. So once I kicked that, it was when I really started getting into cannabis, because I realized like, hey, like I can't fuck around with these painkillers here. Like I gotta find something else. So I started smoking a little bit more to recover. I always remembered how well I slept when I smoked. And then after that, that's really when I got into CBD. It was my first year pro. And it was like, okay, cool. Like I want the benefits of cannabis, but I don't always want to be stoned too. And so that's when I found CBD. It was my first year pro. And after that, it was like, all right, like these two combined concoction, that I'm ready to go now.
Did you do your own due diligence, or did you have someone in your life that helped guide you through your kind of cannabis journey? Like, did you consider going the medical cannabis route at that time?
No, just because it was one of those things that I wanted to keep on the down low, obviously. Like it was in college, like you get drug tested. So it was very like, it was very once in a while kind of thing in college, like in the off season, I would smoke more. But during the season, it would be something where like, you know, like, hey, like I see a joint being smoked, like I'll go over and take like one or two puffs kind of thing, or like nothing too intense, just because of not even the stigma around it. It was literally like, you can't do that. So, if you get tested, I was never tested, so I was fine. But yeah, I didn't want to go the medical route just because that raises flags, and especially going into pro, and you know, you need like, unless if you're a first or second rounder guy, which I wasn't, you need every break you can get. And being someone who, you know, whether you like it or not, whether we see the benefits or not, there's still a stigma around people who smoke, and you know, it's getting a lot better, but people who use cannabis in the sporting world are still seen by some, like the old white dudes, still seen by like, hey, like this guy's a stoner. It's like, no, man, like I just want to have a good night's sleep. I want to not be stressed out by the bad game that I had. Like it's so, yeah, I kept it to myself. I just sort of, I mean, my friends knew obviously, but in terms of medical cannabis, I never really crossed my mind.
So to this day, are you able to use cannabis and CBD during the season in your league?
I'm able to use CBD because I mean, the CBD, the threshold, well, our CBD, the threshold that it has is, it like you won't fail drug tests from it. Cannabis, no. So I stay away from that during the season, unfortunately, but I got my CBD. So that's all that matters, really.
Are you seeing other hockey players on your team or in the league adopting CBD as well as a legitimate way to recover?
Yes, I brought some of the CBD that we had, and I bought four of them and had them shipped here. Just I was going to like use one for me, and then one for a company that I was talking to here, and then two for just guys to use and try. And I all the guys used it, and a week later I ordered 16 more for the team. So it's like they realize it's like, wow, this stuff is good stuff. Like it's, you put it on and it helps your body. And anyone who would try it if they're sore and use it, and quite frankly, if they said they didn't think it worked, I would just not believe them, because the stuff is, it's incredible. Like you feel it within minutes of just like relieving pain, and it's wild. So yeah, guys are definitely starting to adopt it over here, and it's pretty cool to see as it gets a little bit more spread out worldwide.
Absolutely. I'm excited to talk about impact of high performance CBD here in a second, but I wanted to ask you, what do you think is the, you know, biggest hesitation factor for players not wanting to try CBD or other cannabinoid derived options?
It's definitely the lack of education. And again, it comes back to the stigma. People think that they use CBD, they'll fail a drug test, which I guess for some CBDs out there that will make you fail, that could make you fail a drug test. But in general, it's not weed. It's not the same thing. It's not made the same way. It's not like it's broken down into different particles and cannabinoids that will not get you high. And that's the lack of education out there. I think that's the biggest obstacle that we have to get through, because I mean, even in some places, like when I was using it back in North America, I was putting it on my hip, like in between periods or something. And one of my teammates turned to me and goes, he's like, so is your leg getting like high right now? And I just turned around, like, nah, man, like it's just like pain relief. Like it's nothing like that. Like, so definitely lack of education would be the biggest one.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And I see that, you know, in my career here in Ontario, in the recreational market, it is the lack of education pushing this forward. And I think the biggest, you know, a topic that needs to be had is that we have an endocannabinoid system within our body that this plant, the phytocannabinoids, attach to and work wonderfully with. And I think that's why we're on the podcast today, is to break that stigma, you know, to talk about the education behind the plant and, you know, the positive benefits it may have. I know that, you know, you came out talking on your platform, even on Instagram, talking about CBD and your business. Ever since, you know, coming out and talking about the subject and breaking the stigma, have you received any negative criticism or backlash for taking a stand and advocating for cannabis?
Not necessarily backlash, but if I'm here and another player who's like me is just right at the same level, it's like, well, this guy is like openly talks about CBD and weed and like might be a little bit lower down kind of thing. But in terms of most part, no, it hasn't been anything. But it's interesting because we've tried to get some ambassadors and like they are hesitant because they're afraid to associate their names with something like cannabis or CBD, because again, lack of education, they're afraid what the stigma will do. And so I haven't seen or heard anything personally. I wasn't born yesterday, so I'm sure there are some people who think that, you know, I'm just a stoner out there. Nothing for me personally, but definitely some people who we've tried to get in touch with.
Interesting. I know everyone's got a different story with that, and everyone deals with, you know, at different issues in their life. And for me personally as well, I haven't had any negative feedback. Yeah, I've had a couple question marks and like, what the hell are you doing, Ryan, kind of thing. But very similar. Like, I know you made the transition from North America to Europe for pro, but basically when I hung up the skates, I was, you know, ready to talk about cannabis because it's really started to change my mental health halfway through university. And at that time we were being tested by the CCES. And there was no way I was going to be dropping a bomb midway through uni. I just was trying to get through it and move on with my life kind of thing. So it's always interesting asking that question.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a lot from the same here. It's just kind of like I took to it at the right time, just because I wanted to, you know, I guess, like you said, the stigma's there. So I wanted to avoid that as much as possible.
Today, athletes around the world are using their platforms to normalize the sports cannabis conversation and to break the stigma. Stay up to date with the latest in sports cannabis news and learn more about athletes leading the charge on www.sportscannabis.ca. The trend towards normalizing cannabis is not specific to one country. Join the movement and let's grow the community together.
Okay, so as we look at sports cannabis news, over the last year, we've seen leagues shift their stances. And most recently, the MLB announced that they will be opening their arms to CBD sponsorship. In your opinion, is sports cannabis conversation shifting in hockey as well?
Yeah, I mean, it is shifting. At the NHL level, I think it is shifting. The NHL, it's weird, although they do test for weed. It's like if you test positive for it, they'll like give you a call and it'll be like, hey, are you okay? And that's pretty much it. And you'll be like, yeah, I just like the smoke. And they'll be like, all right, that's fine. So it's not like, although it is tested for, it's not actually on the forbidden substance list. I've actually had some meetings with a couple of ex NHL players who work in different franchises. Obviously I can't say who they are because of confidentiality stuff, but there's a few teams that I've talked to who it's old guys who have played in the National League and realize like it's tough guys that have played and they love the stuff and they're basically saying like, okay, like keep an eye on it. Like once it's good, like we're calling you. And it is loosening its stance. It's a slow rolling process. A lot of the owners obviously have a lot of money in the big pharma kind of thing. And so they want to see their pockets filled a little bit faster than changing over to a cleaner substance, I think. That's just a personal opinion, but unfortunately the NHL is usually one of the last leagues to change anything. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I think we can both agree that it's just a matter of time, right? It's just a matter of time before we start seeing this transition happen. And hopefully we do see it, you know, follow suit, you know, and I hope more and more athletes, especially ex-athletes, like you said, you know, be kind of behind the scenes in the franchises, they start, you know, taking the lead, because you know that a lot of athletes are under the microscope and they're, you know, they're bogged down with back-end deals that they really can't speak upon the subject until it is legalized in each state, until, you know, each business has adopted it. I think it's one of those things that we all just need to be patient, but be ready for and be mindful for, and hopefully more and more athletes start coming out and leading the way, because I think that is a true ripple effect. But let's get into the business. I'm really excited. I've obviously gone down the rabbit hole on what you've been up to and your entrepreneurial spirit. So outside of pushing for an even playing field on the ice, you've turned your attention onto the cannabis industry and created a unique offering for athletes and the cannabis community. Talk to us about your company, Impactive High Performance CBD.
Yeah, so this is our stuff right here. It's just like a little gel thing, and you just roll it on. It's a CBD cream for like pain and inflammation. Like if you've got a sore muscle or bumps or bruises or stuff, you put that stuff on, and it's actually crazy how fast it works. And I guess it's a little biased. So essentially, this was started by an old teammate of mine, actually, and I about 3 years ago, actually maybe 4 years ago now, I guess. Yeah, about 3 or 4 years ago. And basically, my old teammate, his name is Brett Ayers. He was a goalie of mine when I played in Ottawa and Cumberland. And he worked with another CBD company, and he had a partner who was just a very small company. And I guess his partner thought it was going to be a quick money grab. So he got cold feet after 6 months, and I was working with him doing a Tansy 20 promotion thing on Instagram and just getting free product. And then he told me that it went dry, and I said, all right, well, I've got some money here. Like, let's attack this a little bit of a different way. Like, I got an idea. And so we wanted to really focus on building our brand, because there's a ton of CBD companies out there, and they all basically say the same thing. They say health, they say wellness, they say yoga, they say like simple, like happy life. And that's great. That's fine. But none of them we found were really branding themselves to a particular type of person or kind of audience. And so we really wanted to, obviously with our background, brand ourselves just to sports and take kind of the same look that Nike or Gatorade took, where you appeal to athletes and, you know, oh, you see LeBron James drinking Gatorade, then, you know, this kid wants to drink Gatorade because LeBron James is drinking it, kind of thing. And so basically that's the way we wanted to go. And our whole mission behind it was that we want to become a substitute for painkillers in locker rooms. And that's what we're pushing. And we're pushing it to athletes, and we're pushing it to teams. And it's getting some pretty good feedback. It's also getting a little bit of pushback sometimes, just because of, obviously, again, the stigma. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and we're getting a lot of athletes on board. And I've seen what guys have taken to get through games. I've been someone who's taken a bunch of crap to get through games, and I'm just at the point now where I'm like, I'm sick of it. I've had friends who've had dependency issues with stuff. I've had some dependency issues with stuff, and I think it's insane that we don't have a natural and non-addictive substitute or even option to deal with our bumps and pains. Like, it's, you know, a full contact sport every single day for 200 days of the year is even more than that, 250 days of the year is pretty intense, and it can definitely have its toll on your body. I mean, in my career, I've broken about a dozen bones. I've had two surgeries, had two concussions, had about 75 stitches, and like, I tell the average person who doesn't play full contact sport that, and they're like, Jesus Christ, like, what do you do to yourself? And then, you know, I tell another guy who who's played with me, and they'll be like, oh, that's cool. I've got 7 bones and 3 surgeries and 50 stitches. And it's like, it's not that uncommon. So we're just really trying to push for a safe way for us to recover, because we know what our job is, and where we want to do it. And we want to do whatever it takes to win, but we just want to be able to treat our body the right way while we're doing it.
At the end of the day, like, we're human too, right?
Yeah.
I'm really excited about the product that you have. So are you getting a lot of good feedback on like the topical cream, the roll-on format? Like why that format over like an oil or a capsule?
The reason why we just wanted to go with one to begin with was we didn't want to come out as a new company and just like launch with 20 different products, because, you know, if like 5 of them sell well and 2 of them sell okay, and then there's 10 of them that don't really sell, then so we wanted to establish ourselves with one product. And we think the size is perfect. It's a good price point too. That costs $25 American, so like 35 Canadian roughly. And I think that's a price point where people are comfortable trying it. And you know, they're not having to spend $100 on something and be like, oh, I don't like it, it's not for me. Like it's a very manageable price, and it fits. A big thing we want to do is it fits easily in the gym bag. Like it's the size of my hand. It fits in a gym bag. It fits in a tape bag. It's easy to just bring with you. And then, yeah, we're going to be launching a lot more stuff to come. Obviously we have the capabilities to do everything. We just wanted to slow roll it a little bit. Mm-hmm. We launched in September, after we were purchased by a parent company who really believed in what we were doing, and they wanted to kind of revamp us a little bit, because at the beginning it was just my partner Brett and I bootstrapping it, and that took its toll a little bit eventually, because you know we weren't paying ourselves at all. We were just, everything we sold, we were just putting it back into the company, putting it into marketing. And then we got this offer to be a part of something bigger, and people who really believed in us, we jumped at it. And now it's since we've been rebuilding for about 7 or 8 months, and we just relaunched in September, and it's been going good. People love it. We've had incredible reviews from our people who have bought it so far.
So for you specifically, I understand that you're more on the sales side of things. You run the sales, the distribution.
Yeah. I mean, so basically it's still Brett and I running it. Like we just have a board to report to. So I'm doing a lot more than sales. I'm talking to ambassadors, I'm talking to agents, I'm talking to sports teams. I'm trying to get into retail. I'm trying to, you know, spread it to teams I play with, teams I play against, and just basically I'm still doing as much and as often as everything I was doing when it was just Brett and I, but now it's just, you know, a little bit more rewarding because it's getting, you know, noticed, and people have backed it, and it's, you know, it's not burning a hole in my pocket anymore. So that's another plus. So
I wanted to talk to you about nano amplified cannabis extract that you guys use in your topicals. I believe that's what I read. Was that, you know, as planned or something that you guys, you know, and knew that you needed to do? And why is that? What does the nano amplified cannabis extract do to help with the recovery and relief of the CBD?
So essentially, to dumb it down a little bit, is it makes it a lot smaller. Like the cell becomes a lot smaller. So our big thing was to be fast acting, because obviously our people who we're going after are athletes, and you don't have too much time to deal with the pain when you're on the bench or on the sideline kind of thing. So it has to work quick. So basically what nano amplification does is it reduces a cell to an even smaller size. So it gets into your system even faster, and it basically just helps it work a lot faster.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think that bioavailability is what people are looking for. Like you said, people want results. People don't want to, you know, like consume these products and not see results. And that's, you know, it's a hard thing to, you know, deal with in the rec space right now, talking about CBD, because, you know, it's not just kind of a miracle pill. It's not a miracle drug. You know, it's something that you need to kind of incorporate into your routine over time to see the results. And it's the exact same thing with topicals. Obviously, we have the most CB2 receptors found within the skin, our biggest organ. So arguably, one of the most effective ways to consume cannabis, let alone CBD. And now we're talking different minor cannabinoids here in Canada, CBG, you know, at CBN, THCV. So it's really interesting to see the different formulas come to life in topicals as well. So I'm sure you and your team have been talking about different formulas, you know, and maybe later on in the game, more than just the CBD, because we all know that, you know, the entourage effect is quite real, even though it is a theory right now, but it's something that people are noticing and it's something that people are exploring. Now, I want to jump into your ambassadors, if you don't mind. I noticed that you guys are bringing on athlete ambassadors. Can you talk to us about the movement you're creating and why it's important to align with athletes from all backgrounds?
Yeah, so movement is a great way to put it. We want to be more than just a company, because at the end of the day, it's athletes who built this thing, and we're building it for athletes, and we want that to really reside with the players and athletes that we use and who work with us. Because the first thing we do if we're trying to bring on ambassadors, we send them stuff. And if they say like, nah, we're not really into it, then we're just like, all right, well, good luck. And we're not going to work with someone who doesn't really believe in it. And that's okay if they don't. It's just, we want people who fully believe in our product and what we're doing. So right now we have 4 official ambassadors. We have Kelly Whaley, who is Susie Whaley's daughter. She's up and coming LPGA athlete. And she's winning some stuff right now, and it's pretty exciting to see her grow. And we got in contact to her through an agent that we talked to, and she's a big lover of the product, and so that obviously helps. We have Will Wilcox, who Will was an old PGA member, and he had an addiction to drugs, and he had a quote that went famous on a Golf Digest interview that was, I was a tour player with a drug addiction. And so he's been clean for a bit now. Once we heard his story, you know, we heard that he was into cannabis and CBD. So we called him right away and we're like, hey man, like, we want to help. We want to help guys like you. Like, this is what we're about. And he loved it. He loved the idea of it. So we brought him on board. And then another part of our mission is to kind of listen and take information from people who work with athletes on a daily basis and use it into incorporating what kind of products we're going to take out next and bring out next. So we have Dr. Troy Van Diesen and Colby Toulier, who are like world-class golfers. Dr. Troy, he's a Dallas Stars therapist, and he works with Scottie Scheffler, and he works with Tyrann Mathieu. He works with a ton of elite athletes. And then we've got Colby, who he's out of Florida. He's an awesome guy. He was one of the critical guys in Tiger Woods' recovery. He works with Justin Thomas. He works with DJ, and he works with just a lot of high level athletes. So we have those two as well. And we brought them on board to, one, because they believe in it, they like what we're going for, and they want to help us push the idea. And two, we want them as kind of strategic advisors to be like, hey, like, you know, this guy is saying he would like to try this kind of thing, or this guy's trying to like to try this kind of thing. And that helps us with our product development to kind of be in tune with athletes and high level athletes and how they might want to see this progress.
I wanted to check in with you and the business. I know that your products do not contain anything higher than 0.3% THC. Was that done with the intention to possibly pivot into the European or Canadian markets later on? And if so, when could we expect that to happen?
Yeah, so for the European market, we're already out here. You can get it shipped to Europe. For Canada, it's just tough because there's a lot of regulations and rules and stuff like that. And quite frankly, with just this product, it's not worth it financially to do in Canada at this point, just because we'd have to find a grower in Canada. And then, you know, all the hoops you have to jump through for something that costs $25 is not that worth it. In Canada, once it becomes a little bit more mainstream and you can find CBD at Sport Check, or you can find it at, you know, Shoppers Drug Mart or stuff like that, that's, I think, when we're going to start pivoting to Canada, just because, again, we want to stick to our brand of not just being only in dispensaries. We want to be the CBD for athletes. And once it's a little bit more mainstream, that will be whenever that is. That's when we're going to start looking and pivoting towards Canada, because obviously I'm from Canada, Brett's from Canada. And in terms of sales, we would have a good amount, but in terms of the financials, it just doesn't really make sense at this point.
No, absolutely. And I know you obviously know this too. Health Canada is under the revision phase with the Cannabis Act. So hopefully we get word of that in the next 6 to 12 months of what's going to change, hopefully for the better. We know a lot of us are pushing for change right now. So it's going to be fun to see what we can do in this space and to break the stigma together. So to wrap things up, we'd like to ask all the guests one last question. Looking back, talk to us about either a piece of technology, a book, or a moment that changed your life and made you who you are today.
I have a book. It's What It Takes by Mark Herzlinch. He was a New York Giant player. And so essentially he was a big name college football player. And he was like a huge name college football player. And his senior year, he got cancer of the femur. And he was basically told that it's cancer of the femur is a pretty big deal. And so his life was basically on the line. And they told him hey, there's this surgery where you will probably, I can't remember what the exact percentages are, but it's like, there's this surgery that's 75% chance you live, but you'll never be able to play football again. And there's this surgery that you might be able to play football again, but there's a 5% chance that you live. And he went for the surgery that let him play football again. And you know, it's all about his battle. It's all about his life. And it's an incredibly inspiring story. And he ended up playing, I think, about 100 games in the NFL. So he realized his dream after going through hell and back. And that was, that was a book that definitely served a lot of use for me after what happened to me, coming an inch to being beaten to my death, basically. There was a couple of days where I didn't know I was in a coma, but where my family didn't know if I was going to make it or not. And that book really, really resounded with me. And I've read it 4 or 5 times now. And it's just one of those ones that still gives me shivers. So yeah, that definitely taught me to just shit gets thrown at you in life. It's not easy. Give it all you can. And, there's going to be bad days. There's going to be good days, and try to make the most of it. And that, I would say that's definitely one of the top things that's helped me.
Thank you, Kevin, for joining another episode on the Shake Podcast powered by Sports Cannabis. I'm your host, Ryan Purvis. Tune in next week for another episode on the Shake, and make sure to subscribe to our channel to stay up to date with new interviews.